Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Mary Magdalene, she teaches us by her example something very simple. She teaches us to believe in Jesus. And we commemorate her today and we remember her because she shows us what it means to put all your confidence and all your trust in Jesus. And we need this message today. Okay, you may think, well, what does Mary Magdalene have to do with me? What does she have to tell me? Well, she's got a lot to tell you and me. Because today we're told we should place our confidence and our trust elsewhere. We should put our confidence and our trust in ourselves, we're told. We can do whatever we want, right? We can achieve our destinies. We're told to put our confidence and our trust in governments, that they're going to solve all the problems of the world. We're told to put our confidence and trust in science or in progress. But you know what Mary Magdalene thinks about all that? It's nonsense. That's what she thinks. For her, there's only one place where she will put all her confidence and all her trust, and that's in her Savior, Jesus Christ. So I thought, first of all, which is kind of ironic because I blew it on that hymn, I put the wrong verse in the bulletin, and it's kind of ironic, but one of my whole goals was to help you distinguish which Mary is which, and I put the verse for the wrong Mary. So it is easy to confuse the Marys in the Bible. So I did want to help a little bit with that. On the back of the bulletin insert, you can see all six of them, all six Marys that are in the New Testament. But there are three of those that are the most important that you want, as a Christian, you want to at least be able to keep these three separate. So of course you know Mary, the mother of Jesus. That one's the most, she's the most well-known. Obviously, we all celebrate Christmas every year. We know Mary, the mother of our Lord. The next Mary is Mary of Bethany, which you may not realize, but you know her well too because of how popular the story Mary and Martha is. That's the Mary who sits at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach while her sister Martha is busy serving. So I have a feeling that all of you are pretty familiar with her as well. Now, she also is the one who anoints Jesus' head with oil right before his death. So she's pretty well known for that as well. So Mary, Jesus' mom, and then Mary of Bethany, who's sister of Martha and Lazarus. But then our Mary today that we're doing is Mary Magdalene. She's not either one of them. Mary Magdalene, we call her Magdalene to keep her separate from the others. She was from the city or town of Magdala. Now, here is what makes her different from the rest, okay? Three things about Mary Magdalene that we know for sure. First of all, the Bible tells us that she had seven demons. Doesn't tell us anything more than that. What were those seven demons? Was it a physical illness she had? Some other kind of possession that she had? I mean, we don't know, but what we know is she was very sick and suffering with seven demons, and Jesus cast them out. So we know that. We know he healed her. Then second, Luke tells us that not only did Mary Magdalene follow Jesus, but she actually provided for him, which is kind of cool. It gives us an idea that Mary Magdalene had some kind of means, you know, financial means to provide for Jesus. But last, third, and most important, what makes Mary Magdalene unique is that she was physically there at all three of these, his death on the cross, his burial in his grave, and the empty tomb Easter morning. She was there at all three. And that's what makes her kind of unique. Okay, so let me tell you now the sad part of this. Instead of Mary Magdalene being known for that she was physically there when Jesus died and when he was buried and when he rose, what has Mary Magdalene now become known for? Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you probably do. You may even read the book. Now, in the last 15 years, Mary Magdalene has become well known for being the secret wife of Jesus. How sad is that, right? And that's all because of the book, The Da Vinci Code, if anybody read it or heard about it. So in The Da Vinci Code, which is a total made-up story, in that book, supposedly, Jesus and Mary Magdalene were secretly married and had children, And from those children descended royalty in Europe somewhere. I didn't read the book. I just read the synopsis way back when. Okay. But this is really, it's fine to read the book, so don't hear me wrong. I don't think you're like a sinner if you read the book. But I think it is kind of disgraceful to have this idea that instead of Mary Magdalene being witness to his resurrection, she's this secret wife of Jesus. It's really kind of sad. And now the other thing about Mary Magdalene that you should know that may have actually played into that, her being his wife, is there's another idea that Mary Magdalene, before she was healed by Jesus, that she was a prostitute. And there's nothing in the Bible that says that directly. But what happened was, in Luke chapter 7, you probably remember this story, there's a sinful woman, it said. That's all it says about her. She doesn't have a name, but a sinful woman that comes and she's weeping at Jesus' feet, and she's wiping his feet with her tears and her hair. And over time, people started to say that was Mary Magdalene. And then they said, not only was that Mary Magdalene, but she must have been a prostitute. And in my humble opinion, I think it's sad that this happened. Because when you look up, if you just, you want to look up paintings of Mary Magdalene, she's almost always portrayed now in some kind of a sexual way, which is really too bad, right? And maybe that even plays into her being this, some kind of secret wife of Jesus. So all of that, untrue. It's untrue. At any rate, it's unsure. And we want to absolutely, right, focus on what we know for sure and true about Mary Magdalene. And that, above all else, is that she was there Easter morning. She was there on Friday when he dies, but then she's there on Easter morning, the first one to see him alive. That is so much more important than anything else that people will make up about Mary Magdalene. This is her greatest joy. And I think it shows to us not only her deep love, that she would not abandon him, because remember, some of the disciples did, but she did not. She stayed. She was there watching him suffer and die. She went to watch him put into his grave, and she was there to take care of his body Easter morning. So it shows that her deep love for him, but it also shows that she's the very first one to see him alive, which you would think, right, pretty important. So we heard this account in the gospel reading today from John 20, and I don't want to just bore you with all the details of that again. You heard it. But she comes, first of all, finds it empty, and then she leaves, but when Peter and John leave, she ends up staying there again. So everybody is left from the empty tomb, but she's staying there crying. And she sees some angels inside, and they talk to her, but then she hears this voice behind her, and she thinks it's the gardener. And so she, you heard it. She says, if you've taken the body, just tell me. I'll go get it wherever it is. But here's the part I want to tell you again, remind you of. When she says that, Jesus gives her a one-word sermon. Wouldn't that be nice, right? Every Sunday, one-word sermon. But I'm not Jesus, so I have to take a lot of words. But one word, maybe one of the best sermons ever given, one word. What is it? Mary. He calls her by name. And that's a big deal, because the same Jesus that called her by name calls you and me by name. He calls us by name, just like Mary, to believe in him. So she is, like I said at the beginning, she is our sister in Christ, who very much is encouraging us to place all our confidence in Jesus. So let me say it this way. I've made a big deal that she was present on Friday when he died, Friday night when he is buried, and Sunday morning she goes to the empty tomb. So I've made a big deal about that. But she's not the only one who's been there, see. You have too. I mean, that's what baptism is. Paul says, don't you know that if you're baptized into him, you're buried with him, you have died with him. So even though we weren't physically present there as Mary was, we absolutely are there. We have died with Christ, we've been buried with him, and we have risen with him. So I can say, yes, Mary Magdalene had a very unique relationship with Jesus, but she's not the only one. So do you. Okay? Yeah, he healed her directly of these seven demons, but he's healed you too. He's cast away the demons of your sins and given you life eternal. And yes, Mary Magdalene, right, was there and saw his miracles and heard his teaching, but so have we. We have his word. We have the witness of his miracles. And finally, yes, Mary Magdalene was there on Good Friday and Easter morning, but we are too, in a very true and real sense. We are there with Jesus, sharing in his death and his resurrection. So finally, let me use one more thing to explain this. When he says Mary, and she turns around and recognizes it's Jesus, then she wants to cling to him. She wants to grab on and hold him, as that would be natural. Any of us would, right? If somebody we hadn't seen all of a sudden comes back, we want to hug them. But Jesus says to her, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." And that's a key little thing there. Mary wanted to cling to Jesus and kind of have him all for herself. But Jesus says, no, Mary, you can't cling to me. You can't have me all for yourself because I've done this for everyone. Okay, Mary couldn't cling to him because we need to cling to him also. And so he said he must ascend to his Father so that just like Mary, you and I can also cling to him in faith. And, you know, a way to think of this is, we're going to have these little conspiracies that Mary Magdalene is the wife of Jesus. Well, you don't need a conspiracy. We already know who the wife of Jesus is. The scripture says it very clear. The church is his wife. We are his wife, his bride. Mary Magdalene certainly is part of that, but all of us are the bride of Christ who place all our confidence and trust in him, just like Mary Magdalene did. So Mary Magdalene, you know, yes, she saw Jesus Easter morning, but after he ascended into heaven, she lived by faith just as you and I do. We all live by faith. We trust him and we place all our confidence in him because no one else can save us. I'll say again, not governments, not science, not yourself, only Jesus. He is your Savior. Believe in him and join Mary Magdalene. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.